I don't know if you ever felt just that rawness with God, that rawness of I need you, I have nowhere else to turn. Oftentimes, the only time we ever pray is when we're down, when something is hurting. And I want to let you know that if the only time you think about God and talk about God is when you're hurting, He's okay with that. He is okay to hear from you in any time, in any circumstance. Don't feel guilty about how often you may not talk with God. Today we're going to see what it's like to have a powerful interaction with Him on a living, breathing, vibrant, moment-by-moment basis. Let's pray. God, I pray that we would go to new places today because we would see you in new ways. I pray that we would strip away the religiosity that surrounds the topic of prayer. I pray that we would become stronger and you would equip us as only you can in our time today. I pray these things according to your character, the person of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Why is it that it's natural when the chips are down that we turn to God? Why is that? It seems like everybody even turns to God, whether they believe in them or not, when they're hurting, or at least we think about whether or not we should turn to God. I watched a documentary a year or so ago of a guy who was stumbling down, I believe it was K2. He had a mountaineering accident, and it looked like he was going to die. And he says in the documentary, I thought about praying to God and talking with God, but he was an atheist or an agnostic, I can't remember which. I thought about talking with God, and then I realized I don't talk with God, and I don't believe in God when times are good, so I'm not going to start now. And he actually made his way down the mountain. And it was interesting to me. Why is it that an atheist or agnostic would even consider God in a hard time if God wasn't real? Why is that? You know, there's plenty of imaginary forces that I used to believe in that I don't in right now and I never think of at all. For instance, when I really need something good to happen to me, I never think of the tooth fairy. I never do. But why do we instinctively go to God? I never think, oh my goodness, I need to chip a tooth and drink some NyQuil so I can get what I need in the morning. I never think that. Yet there is this thing that God has created inside of us to want Him, to know Him, and to come after Him. And in the midst of this journey, we're not philosophizing about different things, we're actually doing them. There's a time to philosophize about the presence of God. There's a time to consider some of the intellectual veracity about the things that we're talking about, but we're actually doing them. We're actually training. That's why it's called a challenge. G.K. Chesterton, one of the most influential columnists of the mid-20th century, said this, "The problem with Christianity is not that it has been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and not tried. We're actually trying some of the ancient disciplines that have made all the greats strong." And as we look at prayer, we're going to go to our star athlete of the week and take a look at his story. I want us to hone into his story. There's going to be some images on the screen, but I just want you to listen to it. This gentleman's name is Dave. He is a world-class artist. His work has been featured on the cover of Time Magazine, Rolling Stone. He's worked with Who's Who and corporations. He also is the illustrator and co-creator of a little thing called Ren and Stimpy, you may have heard of. He's brilliant in his field, and he's also very, very deep and very, very strong with God. We're going to hear about his life of God as it relates to prayer. While we do that, we'll also have the opportunity to give. Our generosity around here fuels things like all the strong challenge materials, the web, all of the infrastructure that's made this happen. Also fuels things around our city for people who are hurting and also around the world. If you're not really part of our church, you're just here part of the journey, you're checking us out today, hey, we're glad you're here. Feel no pressure or obligation. Many of us give this way or electronically at crossroads.net. Wherever you are, we're excited you're here and hoping that you get strong. Let's listen to Dave's story.
My earliest memory of prayer is, my father was a pastor, so I grew up as a preacher's kid. So we had all the typical praying at dinner, you know, praying in church. But how I saw it most personally is I would go hunting for my father, because our house was next door to the church. I'd hear him pouring his heart out to God. Actually, I'd never seen anybody, even women like that, pour out their heart like that, loudly, just, you know, praying for my sister and myself or praying for other situations. And I didn't see him do that at home. And it was his personal time with the Father. And I didn't just see this once, I saw it over and over. That was sort of modeled to me in kind of a hidden and authentic way. when I saw my father praying like that, it, and again, it wasn't a conscious, it was more of a subconscious planting that men do this, men who love Jesus prayed, and then you have all the men in Scripture. I don't think I ever thought it was a sissy thing or a girl thing, because then my dad, I knew my dad's friends and would be with him and we'd get together and they would talk about the Lord, you know, and so I would watch their interaction with one another and how they lived that. I knew that's something that men did, guys did that. It wasn't just set aside for women. I haven't had a good prayer life. I watched my dad do this. I didn't know how to pray. I knew how to go to God asking for answers, asking for things, asking for stuff to be changed. But mostly, honestly, I found prayer boring. I was going to Miami University. I had this sensing in my heart about this other school. And it was a school my mom and dad had attended. It was a church school. I was not interested at all in going there. And I kept just hearing this sensing, the name of this college. And I said aloud, I don't know why I'm thinking this, but I'm not going to go to this place. And it kept on going. And I finally said, again, aloud in my bedroom, okay, if somebody pays my way to go to this school, I'll go. And it ended. Like, okay, that's whatever that was, it ended. The next Sunday, there were two women who attended the church. They were twins. They were unmarried. They said, can we talk to you? And I said, sure. And they said, we just have this sense that the Lord wants us to send you to this school. Would you be willing to go? And I, wow. And so I said, yes. So I went up there. It was a horrible experience, actually, except we had to go to chapel. And there was this guy in his 80s who was speaking in the chapel and was talking about how Christians pray on the run. We pray on our cars. We pray when we're off to this, off to that. We throw in. He said, but God wants more. I said, he loves you. He wants more. And I was really challenged because that's what I had been doing. And I began to turn. And like the story in the prodigal son, I took a step forward and God came running after me and met me. Something came alive in me. But this didn't last. I struggled to read the Bible. I struggled to pray. I did it. I did it out of discipline, but it didn't bring full life to me. I didn't have that authentic, personal, daily kind of encounter with God. Everything began to change for me about 2000. I have had a friend. We hit it off really well. We would work out together. We began doing Bible studies together at his suggestion. So I had friendship, good, really good, solid friendship. We were like running partners, you know. We ran together in the spirit, and we ran together naturally, working out beautiful. And I was finding life through the Bible. I was finding life more and more through prayer. And then he was murdered by his wife. And I felt locked down spiritually. When I tried to pray, I felt like I was in a tin box. And I don't know if it's because he was connected to my connection with the Father that something was cut off. There was like no movement in my life. Everything just felt, just halted. And I felt like I was a sailboat with my sail up out in the middle of a lake with no wind. I had no oars or no motor to propel myself out of there. I was just stuck. And then in November of 2002, some people came to the church I was attending, and I was part of the leadership, and they were praying for us all. They were praying for the leadership. They said to me, I just keep hearing this phrase, God, where's the wind? Where's the wind? Well, we hear God saying, the wind's going to begin blowing in your life right now. And at that moment, I began to, you know, break down a little bit because it was so accurate. I mean, God was speaking to somebody about what was going on in me. And at that moment, the air conditioning duct above me kicked on. And I lost it. I had wind in my sails again. I felt this connection with God again. Prayer is this something that you're told, oh, you need to do this. And everybody knows you should pray. Everybody knows you should read the Bible. But it's like, I don't know how to, no one teaches you how to do this in a way that is meaningful. I describe prayer as connecting with the heart of God, getting His heart and then Him getting mine. It's communication. It's life. And just as I spend time with friends and spend time with my wife, spend time with people that matter to me, I take that time, I make that time to spend time with God because I need that. And so I decided, because I work for myself, to tithe my time. And what that looked like for me was, and I know this is unusual, not everybody has this, when there's a drastic illness or when there's a drastic situation in your life, there needs to be drastic measures to bring health and recuperation. I needed to do something drastic to get my heart turned around. So I decided to spend and give to the Lord in the morning 3 hours. I had to do that. So I knew that worship, you know, got my heart engaged and would let the worship music wash over me, let it wash over my heart. I would begin to participate in that. I found this little book called Face to Face by a guy named Kenneth Boa. He laid out very simple elements of prayer only using scripture. And then he would say, now take these scriptures and use this thought to pray for your family. And he would break it down into, you know, worship or intercession or praying for the churches in your area or praying for the world. And it was praying the scripture. As something that had bored me, I had life in this, real life in this, real practical life in this, both scripture and prayer for the first time ever. From me having to take that drastic measure of 3 hours in the morning, I don't do that anymore. I do try to spend about an hour plus, hour to 2 hours if I can, but there are times I only have half an hour. So practically what that looks like for me is it means turning off the TV often, taking some time in the evening and saying, I gotta shut everything down, I gotta turn stuff off. Say no to an invitation to do something and say, I need to drink, you know. I need to spend some time just reading the word again, praying that out, letting certain music just wash over me and agreeing to that. And so the rhythms have changed. There are days even that I don't get hardly any time, and I am praying on the run. But that's not my norm. Before that was my norm. I think it was a Saturday. I was in my studio working. And all of a sudden, I felt a heaviness hit my heart. And I stopped, like, well, what is this? And I felt like this, like something was going on with my daughter. And she lives in Kansas City. I think I ignored it at first. I just felt like, oh, okay. And I went back to work, and I felt it again, hit me again. I thought, okay, I need to pay attention to this. So I stopped, and I didn't know how to pray, but I just prayed for her. I prayed, actually, that it felt urgent, something urgent in me. And I began to pray just more. And I don't remember if I prayed scripture. I don't remember fully what I prayed, but at some point it left. Heaviness, urgency left. And then I went back to what I was doing. The next day, I get a call from my daughter. And I answer, and her voice is all shaky. She had been coming back to Kansas City from Minneapolis. It had been icy, and she'd been driving all night long, and she changed She let her one of the other girls in the car drive. She hit a patch of ice. My daughter's car then began to slide under the truck that was in the lane next to them, and it actually went under the truck. The truck's wheel clipped her car, clipped the front of her car, and spun her car around and, you know, banged her car up. But nobody was hurt in the car. I mean, it was miraculous. She was safe. The other passengers were safe. It was in that aftermath I just felt like that prompting I had the day before had something to do with praying for protection for her the next day. So I'm way more quick to respond to promptings in my heart to pray for somebody else. Meeting with other men became a priority. I didn't plan on doing it. It wasn't something I was really interested in doing. But when you're spending time with the Father, you get his heart for things that matter to him. I'm not convincing God of anything. I'm getting his heart. I get his heart for me. I get his heart for my family. I get his heart for my friends. And so I began to get together with a friend. They would then want to meet another time. Hey, can we meet again? And other guys began to hear about this. And my goal is to hear them, but hear what God has for them. I sort of have this cool phrase. It's like, you know, even the garden hose that waters, you know, the flowers, the inside of the hose gets wet. So it's addicting, right? When you're watering somebody else from a source that's not from you, you get wet. You experience some of that yourself. And I know how much my life has been changed by people praying for me. And I see how it has affected them and how it touches their hearts.
That is a black belt in prayer. As a black belt in prayer, we're giving star athletes in each one of these disciplines. I put myself more in the blue belt, green belt in prayer. The issue is not saying I need to be like that, but I need to understand there is a strength that comes when we go to new places. And we want to go to new places this week as we do our challenges in interacting with God and praying. You know, there are scientific benefits to praying. Studies pop up from time to time about the effect on our brain when we meditate, which is similar to when we pray. A couple that I ran across this week getting ready for today are this. Here's one. National Institutes of Health found that individuals who attended religious services at least once a week and prayed at least once a day or studied the Bible frequently were 40% less likely to have high blood pressure than those who did so never or infrequently. 1998, 40 people with AIDS published in the Western Journal of Medicine showed that half the people who were prayed for by strangers felt better and had fewer medical complications, let's put an S on there, than those who didn't receive the anonymous prayers. And also in 1999, St. Luke's Hospital in Kansas City found that after studying 1,000 patients, those who were unwittingly prayed for fared better than those who got only conventional care. And in December 2008, Healthcare Direct Research found 70% of over 1,100 physicians said that they believe miracles are possible. I don't know if it's because that many physicians have seen a diagnosis turn when they haven't done anything, or if that's a modeling of those physicians are still tapped into an awareness that there is a God that transcends physical abilities. I've never prayed and something to me as a result of my prayer has happened to me physically that's been miraculous. I know friends that have had something physically miraculous that's happened to them. A friend who's had his daughter had hearing aids, doesn't need them anymore. Actually, another friend who used to had hearing aids for decades and doesn't need them anymore. And there's people within our prayer team. More recently, one woman had cancer spots on her uterus, and after a series of prayer, went into the hospital or the doctor again, and the scan, same exact scan had that they had before, showed that those spots were gone. I know that I did an infant baptism dedication, and apparently someone came up and said, you know, 10 months previous, we came up to you after a service, I don't even remember it, we had infertility problems, we were told we could never have a child, and you put your hands on my wife and prayed, and we figured out we conceived actually that afternoon. There's a lot of those That's good. Probably at least two reasons why they conceived there. Not just the prayer. Something else must have happened there too. I'm not sure exactly what it could have been. There's enough of those things that I don't doubt the power of prayer. And yet for myself, I've never prayed and actually felt that happen to me. And yet I believe it. I believe it because I also believe in the Bible and I see it throughout the scriptures. A couple years ago, my daughter had a couple friends of hers that were in a tragic car accident and left two of her friends paralyzed, some forms of paralysis. And these guys were pretty well known around the Cincinnati area, and I was asked to come and be a part of a prayer service and do a little teaching at it. So there's a bunch of people who were sort of who's who in Christendom around the Cincinnati area, different churches that came to this thing, about 150 people or so, and I gave a little talk on prayer, and then we all gathered around these guys with the wheelchairs and were praying for them. And it was really some powerful and intense prayer. And at the end of that prayer time, there was sort of a beautiful, what I would call holy calmness in that room. And I said to these guys, I said, do you feel any different in your legs? Do you feel any sensation in your legs? And after I asked that, about 50% of everyone in attendance spontaneously burst out with, ha, 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 ha. They laughed. I thought, immediately thought, okay, 50% of everybody here, regardless of how mature they think they are, really did not expect anything different to happen in prayer here. Didn't expect anything of that. Ideas, but really their heart is not connected to God. I've got a vocal cord issue. I've got a cyst on one vocal cord and another callus or something like that on the other. I've been dealing with it for a while. And it's not too uncommon for someone who does the kind of speaking and projecting I do on a regular basis for that to happen. And I went to the first group of people, larger group of people. I told them about that. And I said, you know, it'd be great if I pray, and I would love this thing to dissolve in my stomach or maybe even cough it out. And people laughed. Some of you are like kind of laughing. Maybe laugh because just the visual of something popping out would be funny, or maybe laugh because you thought I was trying to hit a joke or not. But again, I wonder, our knee-jerk reaction, do we really believe these things? And you don't have to believe these things this week. You don't. We're just going to do these things. We're going to practice these things and see what happens to us. And we're going to de-spiritualize the value of prayer. We want to get out of all of the gymnastics and all of the, oh, I must do this. I'm like, no, we just need to talk with God. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 puts it this way. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What's God's will for you? It's not for you to climb the corporate ladder, though if that happens, wonderful. It's not for you to be able to retire at age 50, but if that happens, wonderful. God's will for you is that you are in sync with His heart, in sync with His heart, and you live in constant awareness of thanking God, rejoicing in Him, and interact with Him, talking with Him, pray without ceasing. This doesn't mean have a 24-hour straight prayer vigil every day where you kind of go like this all day. It means that through the moment-by-moment walking of your life, you interact with God. This is what prayer is. Prayer starts with conversation. It starts with conversation. We just talk. One of the great, strong people in the Old Testament was the prophet Samuel. Samuel goes to live with the spiritual guru of the nation of Israel. His name is Eli. And to set up this whole story, here's what it says about that day and that time period in the book of 1 Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. If you're somebody who says, man, I never hear God talk to me. I don't hear that. Having a conversation, I never hear Him talk with me. You are what, you're what would be called normal. Normal. I get a little oogie about people who always hear a word from the Lord. I get a little oogie about that. Man, that'd be awesome if you do. Wonderful if you do. But I've never heard God audibly speak to me. I've never heard the actual audible voice of God. I've never had a lightning bolt strike and then smoke go up in a beautiful, you know, picture that tells me exactly what to do. It's unusual to have unmistakable voice from God that you can't quiver. In fact, it was the way it was back then. The voice of the Lord was rare. In many ways, in terms of the audible way, it's rare, and yet there is a voice that you can discern that is not rare. We can discern that the more we interact with God, praying at all times without ceasing, praying including when I'm driving. I'm driving in my car. I turn on the radio. When I'm driving in my car, I have the ability to talk with God. I'm driving along. By the way, if you ever pray while you're in your car, please don't pray and shut your eyes. You don't have to always. I know some of you drive like your eyes are shut, but it's not a good idea to shut. You don't have to shut your eyes when you pray. You're connecting with the heart of God. So my prayers could look like this. I'm driving along and someone cuts in front of me and that ticks me off. God, why is it that I get so upset when somebody cuts me off? Do I feel personally offended? Do I feel like there's some master strategy to screw over Brian Tone? Why do I get so upset if somebody's, I don't like that about myself. Oh, I see that bumper sticker there, coexist. So those little different symbols, coexist. God, I do pray that everybody, regardless of the religious persuasion or spiritual orientation or belief structure or lack of belief structure, all over the earth, that we would coexist. I pray that does happen. And at the same time, God, help us to not be duped into sloppy mental thinking that thinks that every perception of you is equal, that every perception of you is valid. It's not. God, I want to know you, who you really are, who you really are, and don't allow me to fall prey to all thinking is the same. It's not. I want to know you for who you really are. I mean, innumerable prayers as I'm driving or as I'm sitting watching television, I can have prayer prompts, things that prompt me to talk with God as I'm just changing the hand. Isn't it interesting? You know, men, we love to have the remote control because we have the power. I have the power. And all of a sudden we will kind of click to a different station. Batteries must be low. There it is. Click to a different station, Charlie Sheen. And you know, I could say to myself, Charlie Sheen, and it's can prompt me to pray. God, I'm thankful that in my most strange times, I never had a national audience. If in my most strange times, if I ever had a national audience, it would not be good. And I don't want to rejoice that 2.5 Men is doing better since he's been gone. But I just want to recognize, God, this guy you have created, you created him, and he matters to you. And I don't know what you're doing in his heart or what you will do in his heart, but I just pray you bless him and you bring him to you. I want your heart for him. And I'm go to another station and Occupy Wall Street. You've been seeing these things? You know, boy, there's something stirring in our country right now. And I see this and I just pray, God, man, our country seems more divided than ever. It used to be divided on philosophical lines, divided on abortion right, abortion wrong, capital punishment right, capital punishment wrong, Republican, Democrat. There is actually something different now. I don't know, God, if it's actually 99% of the have-nots, as these protesters say, versus the 1% of the haves. I don't know what it is, but I do, God, see that there's a growing gap. And I do see, God, that we keep segmenting each other. God, I know that in your kingdom and in your love are the haves, are the have-nots, and the in-betweens. I don't know what's going to happen in our country, but I pray that somehow you would prevail and we would not demonize one another. I just have a reaction to it. And it doesn't mean that I speak out loud every time I see these things. I just have a mental connection and a mental connection with who God is. These are simple prayers. I don't need to go to seminary to learn these things. You don't need to go to a course to go through these things. Jesus puts it really well, and it's translated in a really fresh way in the Message translation when Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you're dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. We're going to be praying simply and differently this week as you get your prayer challenges, your prayer cards. We're going to be doing things, spurring things on, and that may be different than you normally do. Maybe you'll pray, maybe you'll kneel for the first time. Maybe you'll walk around and pray. Maybe you'll journal. I don't know. We need to have freshness. In my workout regimen, I've been getting stale. I kind of do the elliptical, some push-ups, pull-ups, and that kind of thing. And man, I just kind of been going through the motions. And I'm in two. I have two home teams for the Strong Challenge. One of them consists primarily of the trainers at the gym where I go. And you know, you got these guys with 20-inch biceps, and then you have me with 21-inch bicep. You have. Why is that so funny? You have all these guys who are. It's actually been very stimulating this last week, our first meeting. One of these guys gave me like a 3-minute free tutorial. He had somebody else on the clock, and I was in there doing my normal rigmarole. And he introduced me to these kettlebell things. these kettle, and he's like, so I'm doing these, like, you know, figure eight deals. It's interesting. Just doing something different kind of sparks something. It's giving me freshness. This is what has to happen in our conversation life, our prayer life with God. We got to try things different to spark it. Prayer is not just conversation. It starts with me talking, but it also leads to perception. It leads to perceiving the unique, distinct voice of God. Every conversation should be about 50% I'm talking and 50% I'm listening. Not 50% I'm waiting for you to get done talking so I can talk again, but 50% I stop and I try to listen and tune into what you're saying. Very few people learn this discipline. We may learn some by rote prayers, but very few people learn a rhythm of how to talk and also be silent. And there may be things that are going to pop in your life if this happens. You may get stronger because things start to change in your life. I don't understand why it is that God decides there's some things he's going to do no matter what people pray or don't pray. There are just something he's just going to do no matter what. There's also some things that God is never going to do no matter what people pray or don't pray. And even more confusing than this, there are some things that God will not do unless you pray. I don't understand. This is weird to me, but I see this throughout the entire Bible and also my own personal experience. I'll say it again. There are things that God will not do unless you pray. Billy Graham put it this way. Heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one ever bothered to ask. There are some things that could break simply because you go to God. Part of what may break may be your attitude and perception of things, because you may hear things that God says. Now, Samuel knows that this is rare. People know it's rare to hear from God in a loud, distinct, indistinguishable way, and yet Samuel is conversing and he starts to perceive what God is saying. It happens while he's sleeping. Let's pick this up, the story, and says this. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Ooh, let's stop right there. This is deep. Samuel is going to hear from God. He's hearing from God, and he doesn't have a relationship with God. You may be able to hear from God this week, and you don't even believe that Jesus is actually God himself as Jesus said he is. You can hear from God, according to this verse, even when you have significant doubts about his existence, if you open yourself up and go to him. Let's go back to this. This is intense. He did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. See, he's hearing God says, Samuel, he doesn't know it's God, but he's hearing this sensation, Samuel. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me? He's thinking it's Eli. Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy, and so Eli told him, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went down in his place. Eli said, son, I think you're hearing from God. It may not be an indistinguishable, loud voice from heaven, but I think you're hearing, you're perceiving the voice of God. Go back and say, speak, Lord. Your servant listens if it happens again. And this is exactly what takes place. Samuel does. He does go back, and here's what happens. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. In saying servant, he's identifying that I want to be under you, God. I want to be connected with your heart. And I'm here. I'm available. I'm listening. Does God know that you're available? Does he know you? Does he know that you want to hear from him? Just take time saying, God, I want to hear from you, and be quiet. And you'll find your mind starts to drift. Perhaps your mind is drifting to a place that God wants it to go because he's trying to have you think about something that he wants you to do. Perhaps your mind is drifting because you had pizza the night before and you have indigestion. But I first say, well, my mind is drifting when I'm thinking about something. Maybe God is directing my mind someplace. And if I ever come to my mind, think of something that I think that God would approve of, I think perhaps I'm perceiving the voice of God. It's a still voice. It's a quiet voice. It's a perception. Samuel mistook it for something happening in his sleep. This last summer, I rode to Alaska on a motorcycle with some guys, and I rode back. On the way there, my son hit a pothole, busted up a rim. It was a very, very difficult thing. On the way back, my brother-in-law is now on that bike, riding it back. On my way back, and my brother-in-law on the same bike hits a brick going 85 miles an hour and shreds about 25% of the spokes on the highway, bends the rim, difficult stuff. And I said to him, okay, you're gonna have to fly home. We're gonna have to ship this bike home. We're not gonna be able to find another rim here in South Dakota. I know how hard this is. Maybe I'm gonna have to go as well. And I said, I just need to go off here for a moment and pray and just gather my thoughts. So I went off the side of the highway, cars buzzing by. I went to my bike by myself. I just said, God, I really sense that you wanted me, damn the torpedoes, get to Alaska no matter what. I've had all kinds of hardships. On the way back, I don't know, is it that big of a deal that I do the whole round trip? And I sensed God said, and I actually said to God, I said, if you have an opinion about this, I'd love to hear it. And I just sensed God saying, hey, Brian, the goal was all the way up. Getting back was a nice to have, but you don't have to go all the way back. I thought that very well could be, I believe that's a voice of God. It makes sense to me. I kind of tapped out, said, boom, I'm done. I'm done. I was on a plane not too long later coming back. I've started to fine tune how I sense God. And oftentimes I ask God, I talk with God, or maybe I go for long seasons and I don't feel anything. That's part of a relationship. 1 Thessalonians verse 5 that we looked at before, though, it tells me to pay attention to God's voice, to include him in my life. Here's what it says. Not just pray without ceasing, but do not quench the Spirit, or do not stamp out the Spirit. When the Spirit is speaking, or when I'm having an idea that could be God, I want to follow through on it, because if I don't follow through on it, I am quenching or disturbing or ignoring the Spirit. I'm putting out the Spirit. I'm communicating to God, hey, you can give me perceptions all you want. You can give me little whispers all you want. You can give me but bottom line is, I'm not going to do them. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And so when I'm praying, I'm starting with the conversation. I'm also perceiving, and if there's anything that I'm sensing that needs to be done, I want to assume, if it's in line with the character of God, that he's telling me, otherwise, I will be quenching the Spirit. And this means that it concludes with action. Prayer concludes with action. It oftentimes leads me to doing something different, saying something different, cutting something out of my life, adding something into my life. And most of the time, these are very, very simple things. I had a meeting with a friend of mine, used to be on staff. He's on staff no longer a couple weeks ago. And we parted ways, and I was walking away. I got about 15 yards away from him, and I just sensed this, why didn't you pray with Todd? Turned around, ran back to him, say, hey, Todd, why don't we pray together right now? Maybe I just sensed it was a whisper of God, and he would approve of that. I was listening to a friend of mine, a message he gave, a colleague of mine. He's a pastor in another city. I was listening to an MP3 of his, and I was really struck deeply by the things that he was saying. And I was struck by the fact that he's 20 years older than me, at least 20 years older than me, and he's fresher than he's ever been. And I just sensed God prompting me. I perceived a whisper saying, go write Bill a note. Encourage him. Encourage him. Tell him that you want to be like him when you're 20 years down the road. Libby and I came away from an event the other night, and she was coming away from this event, and she said, man, I normally am a certain way in these events, but this time I wasn't. I'm being nebulous because it's really none of your business. And I said to her, I said, honey, I've been praying for you in that exact area. I've been praying for, and I sensed from God I should be praying for her in this area, and I'm seeing results and answers. I've had a friend of mine at Cincinnati, I've been in Cincinnati about 15 years. He's been a friend of mine for 15 years. I've known him for 15 years. And he keeps popping into my mind at the strangest and weirdest times. Finally, I realized this has to be God. This is weird for me to keep thinking about Steve. I'll call him Steve, even though his real name is John. It's weird for me to keep thinking about this. It's actually neither. It's just a stupid joke I say all the time because it's a cheap thrill for me. As we talked about play last week, anytime I take a cheap thrill, I'll take it. Finally, I said, forget it. I need to text this guy. So I text him a prayer. Actually, I text him one prayer. I prayed for him via text. So he got the text and it was actually a form of a prayer. Yeah, for him. I just sensed that God's speaking, and if it sounds like a good idea, I want it to lead me to action. This week, I believe God's going to lead us to action as we stretch ourselves, as we try things. Jump in this week. God, I pray that we would hear from you this week because you hear from us. We want to include you in our normal daily rhythms, and we want to try different things this week. We want to become strong. We want to go beyond where we are. We want to have tenacity. We want to have endurance. We also want to have the strength to do things that people may be afraid to do. Help us do that this week as we listen. In fact, we want to hear from you right now. Is there anything you would say? Speak. Speak. Your servants listen.